Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679. EURC.org, 760-745-1679. EURC.org. Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. If you've been with us last week and you listened yesterday, we started really a series in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 on the gifts of the Spirit. I can't emphasize enough how important a series like this is today. The same problems that happened in the Corinth day where they were caught up in all the sign gifts, the supernatural sign gifts, the abuse of them, the speaking in tongues, the miracles, the healings, all that went with that, we are all facing today, and we're all looking for power in all the wrong places. This is so relevant as Paul corrects their very wrong view of the gifts, gives them a high view of the church, the very thing we don't have today, to appreciate the church, to understand why God gives gifts to each member for the common good, and to think a little bit more of the ordinary workings of the Spirit. We're in the middle of this. Paul says the greatest of these is love. Love. Instead of tongues, let's talk love. We're going to look at all this today on Abounding Grace Radio and hopefully help you to have a better idea of how the church should function and what God's purpose is when Christ ascended on high, leading captivity captive and giving gifts to men, what his purpose is for the building up of his body, which is the church. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we do direct you to our website at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. A lot of resources there for you. We invite you to download the podcast free of charge. There's a form there to write to us. Of course, all of your support, if you feel or you are blessed by this program, do please help us to continue to make it a blessing to somebody else. We air in the Pacific Northwest into Vancouver, BC, Central California, and Southern California. So we're covering some real major areas of the West United States. And we hope that as it's been a blessing to you, it will help others in their understanding of the Christian faith. So thanks again for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. Here is part two of the message we started yesterday on refusing to accept who we should be from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What I want to do tonight is say this. What it means is every single one of you are spiritual. You're vital to the project. You're important to the project. And notice he says here, there's a variety of gifts that he bestows, and then there's a variety of ministries where we get the word deacon. It means there are a variety of services among us. In other words, you could simply say, the Lord not only gives you the gifts, but he gives you a whole bunch of opportunities to use that gift. A variety of way and a creative way from the Lord. Now, notice it keeps saying, same Lord. He's the one giving all of this. He's the one providing all of this, the gift and the opportunities to use it, to you to use that gift. And then he says, a variety of activities for you to use it, which it really means workings or of effects. God empowers this. And God empowers the use of the gifts so that even the effects and the results and the fruits belong to him. That's what's happening.
So God gives you gifts. God's giving you a variety of gifts, opportunities to use those gifts, and he's sovereignly in charge of the empowering of them, and so that there is fruit bore. Some in the use of their gifts will see greater fruit because the empowering and the effects are his. I think it's encouraging. I mean, you've just been seeing this with Moses. The Lord comes to Moses and Moses doesn't want to do it. Moses doesn't want to go. He goes through a variety of excuses not to go. And remember what he said, Moses, you go. He says, you go, you speak. That was the gift. You're going to speak as a prophet. And he complains, well, I don't have the gift. I can't speak well. I can't. Listen, I will be with your mouth. And I'll teach you what you should say. I'll deal with that. I'll give you that. You just go. And then, Moses, I'm going to give you the service. You're going to go stand in the middle of Pharaoh's courts, and you're going to go stand in front of Israel, and you're going to say this. There's the service. And then, Moses, I tell you what, I will even empower it so that, here's the effect. Pharaoh will either harden or soften his heart depending upon me. And Moses, Israel will listen to your voice. You see it? The gift, the service, the effects. It's all there. Why is Paul explaining this tonight? Why do you need to understand that tonight? Well, think of the problem. What was everyone attracted to? Oh man, did you hear that guy speak in tongues? Wow! Did you see him heal? Did you see the working of miracles by that guy's hand? What's everyone attracted to? Sign gifts. Speaking in tongues and healings and miracles. Well, what did that create? Everyone began not only envying those gifts, but everyone began to think, well, there's the really spiritual people. What was the fruit of that? It created one of the greatest divisions possible in the life of the church. You say, how so? People stopped using the what they thought were lesser gifts, totally irrelevant and ineffective, they thought, and you had a host of people envying, and then people looking in awe at over the people who could do those gifts, and then you had a host of copycats. Listen, in a prosperous time like America, what do you get? A host of false teachers because they realize the potential of that. You start getting persecution, these guys are going to go away, I promise you. They're gone. The church gets more pure. Well, Corinth was in a time of affluence. They had looked so much like the world. All these guys saw a great opportunity in this. The church was falling apart because of the neglect of gifts that were meant to build up the church. And everyone sat there refusing to accept the gifts, the common or ordinary gifts that God had given them. They became idle. You know how much the New Testament talks about being idle? And the church was ripped apart in division. I think division sometimes is seen in all the wrong places. In other words, we don't really think about where division shows itself. They were looking for spirituality and power in the super spiritual things. Everyone wanted to be copycats of this. If it were in our context, the really popular churches would be those who have the greatest gifts, right? They would be those who have the most awe-inspiring things happening. What do we want? A church with the best musicians, a church with the best pastor who can inspire us, a church with the best building, the best programs, that which seems to create an outer feeling of power. And when you have a bunch of people caught up in that, what do they become? Spectators. We have forgotten Christ's intention for gifts. Paul keeps saying something here. Gifts are given for the common good. It's amazing how in the early church everything was common and everything was shared. It was common. There was no individual mindset among the people. They ate in common. They gave in common. In fact, koine, the root of koinonia means common. They shared property. They shared meals. Everything was designed to be together. We are so individualized. Well, what happens in Corinth? You had a host of gifts separated from the body. And then what began to happen? Well, individual attention is given and glory is given to those gifts. Envy arises. It dominates the members. What do you think began to happen in worship? Well, practices in worship were chaotic. This is what Paul's dealing with here in the whole leadership structure of this section. Chaotic due to the super spiritual gifts, they thought, they became the focus of worship. And it would be like somebody soloing their gift in a fashion and everyone else just sits there and just becomes a spectator in observing the solo. That's why there are dangers in that, isn't there? That's not the intention of gifts. Never has been the intention of a gift to solo out. God handed you gifts. And this is what he said, think about it. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's beautiful. So, God bestows upon you a gift. He fits you specifically into the particular local church to where you are. And this will frame, if you understand this, it'll also help frame your whole view of membership and your whole understanding. You're not a lone ranger. You're important to the whole. The whole thing is strengthened when people are functioning using their gifts the way they should be. But when the focus becomes on the singular gift, or the attention becomes on that of the super spiritual ones, and we become spectators, what happens? The body suffers. Let me give you an analogy. Imagine a football team where every player wanted to be the quarterback. Yeah, it doesn't work, guys, does it? Imagine all the linemen stop blocking. And imagine the running back stopped running. And imagine the receivers stopped catching. But they all went out and they just stood in their positions eyeing the quarterback. Man, that's really impressive. I want to be the quarterback. That guy's really doing great stuff. What would happen to that football team? It wouldn't be much of a game, would it? My father was a basketball coach for years, and he always said to me, I was one of the scorers, and he says, don't you take that glory. He says, you didn't get that point except by the guy who set the pick for you. And that guy who ran over there and rebounded and set the picks and did nothing that was outwardly glorious made it possible for you to get that bucket. It's always bugged him that I got in the paper and these guys didn't, you know. Well, it was Lamore, so it was no big deal. I still went around buying the Be Like Mike shirts. I still bought his tennis shoes. Everyone wanted to be like Mike, but no one could be like Mike. Here's the point. Nothing works when we function that way. We're a community. All gifts are designed for the common good. That's how unity is created, because that is the goal. And notice Paul keeps saying that. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God, triune God, unity. When you take all these variety of gifts, service, and effects, you build up the body in unity. That's the result. That's the goal. It's not individualistic. It's not to be spectators of others' gifts. And so, in verses 8 through 11, what he does here is illustrate this by describing some of these gifts. And I wrestled with, is he talking here about all extraordinary gifts? I'm so tempted by that view. Is this all extraordinary? It could be, because he keeps saying an utterance of knowledge or an utterance of wisdom. But the main point here, and we'll look at that, just we'll close here in a minute. In the New Testament, I have found it helpful to categorize the gifts as sign gifts, speaking gifts, and serving gifts. I've always found that division helpful. Speaking and serving gifts continued. It's the sign gifts that we are a little troubled with because we don't quite know how to process that. And that's because a lot of these were intended to die with the apostles as the church was being formed and as the church was going out to the ends of the earth. Even by the end of Acts, you see them dying out. It was specifically, they were given and intended to confirm their word and ministry. It needed to happen as the church was being formed there in the first century after Christ had died and rose again. And you'll notice in Romans, there's no mention of sign gifts. It's just speaking gifts and serving gifts. Here you have a real focus on the sign gifts. Romans was written after Corinthians, which probably shows that they were coming to an end with the apostles. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, the sign gifts still existed. It was a major problem for this church. You could imagine it. If the mystery cult religions are speaking gibberish, and you had some speaking in tongues which were known languages, you could imagine the confusion and how they thought the ecstatic speech as they brought that into the church, how they thought that was super spiritual. The gifts mentioned here are probably extraordinary. But Paul does, what he does here is apply his point that these particular gifts are those that God gives, that God provides a way of use and he distributes and empowers as he wants. Did you see that? To the one through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Do you see what he's doing? He just explained it. God set apart some, not all, to give them the ability by the Spirit to have the utterance of wisdom, let's say. There are some among us who have a wonderful gift to be able to speak and discern wisdom in the circumstances and situations of life. I love that. Wisdom is that ability to discern from God's word how to apply his truth to the life situations in which you find yourself that are often complex and disorienting and confusing, and you don't feel there's an answer. And God gives you brothers and sisters who can help you in that regard with that kind of gift. And I have been immensely blessed in my life with men like this and women. And I mean both. It's been wonderful. If I am looking at this commonly, and I think there's a common element to this, you know, to another, the utterance of knowledge and a gift of ability to understand and explain the scriptures. What happened in Corinth? Everyone started using, desiring that gift as the highest expression of enthusiasm. I mean, you see the problems all here. He mentions here faith. Faith. I've always thought, what is that? Doesn't everyone have faith? Can you imagine in the first century when Jesus talked about faith and he talked about the gift that he gives of faith in a sense of being strong, a pillar in the midst of some of the most difficult times of life? And then he talks about forgiving right after. I'm thinking of Mark when he talked about the gift of faith and then asking for that and then forgiveness. And then you see Stephen with such strong faith who's able to go to his death and as he's dying, pray, Lord, forgive them. Don't give them. They don't know what they're doing. I always thought, you know, what an encouragement in a world that's falling apart and we Christians have such fear that God puts rocks in front of us who are not afraid to go to the knife. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. God's put these in front of us to help us and encourage us. See the common good of that? When that happens, it strengthens the body. In the first century, you had healings and miracles. I'll be dealing more with that later. You can think of Acts 19. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. Can you imagine if my handkerchief dropped and you guys were getting well? It doesn't go on today. But the Lord used that in the first century to confirm. Unusual miracles, the ability to, he says, discern spirits. If there's a common element to that, how much do we need discernment today? How much do we need people who are willing to stand up and say, listen, that's wrong, and discern the spirits and test what's right, to see what's right, and being willing to speak that? Our silence today is killing us. Imagine if somebody did that and used that gift. I'm called to use it. He goes on in the biggie, tongues and various kinds of tongues. Well, I'll be dealing with that as we come into 14. But just to say, when Pentecost happened and people spoke in tongues, it was known languages. It was not ecstatic gibberish. It was languages. And people being able to then interpret and explain the language. What is all this showing you tonight? I close with this. Corinth dealt with such an abuse of gifts, it became chaos. The leadership fell apart. Everything was for a show. And Paul's point is that the Spirit distributes these gifts as he wills, and it's vital for the common good of the body. You are important for the common good of the body. I close with this thought. What was undermined? Ordinary. Ordinary gifts were undermined. Dull and boring, powerless. Always been a problem in the history of the church. What appears to be powerless? What sits in the middle between 12 and 14? Well, if you're listening, it's chapter 13. What is that? The greatest of these is love. That's not very exciting. I mean, because that requires a total denial of myself, doesn't it? That requires that I not be seen. That requires that every way Chris Gordon is denied and I am giving myself to you. That's what love requires. The very thing Paul puts in the middle of this is that gift. You're saying, well, I don't know what my gift is tonight. You all can do that. Or you could start here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Boy, self-control, goodness, kindness. Has God given you that? You may have a whole overlap of that. I hope you have all those, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. Use it. And they need it next to you. You need to know tonight you're vital to the project. You are spiritual. I've always reminded when I've preached, that on the last day when the Lord comes and he talks about, as the Belgic said tonight, the good works he's going to reward, what's the first thing he mentioned? Not the pastors. The giving of a cup of cold water in his name. I close with the words of 1 Peter. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, God glorified, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. And those who are doing that are the ones who understand by the Holy Spirit what it means to say, Jesus is Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you give have poured out through your Son gifts and have corrected our very superficial view of your church, and that you continue to do this. Would you give us confidence then in knowing and understanding the gifts that you've given to us, to use them boldly, to realize that we're vital to the whole, that you have us here for a reason, and that we would become servants of the King and of one another, loving fervently with a pure heart. Thank you that you showed us love in the midst of all of this, which ultimately requires then that we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. Thank you for loving us, O Lord, and may that incite us this week then, having been justified by faith and having peace with God, to use our gifts for the honor and glory of your great name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Corden. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Corden preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679. EURC.org, 760-745-1679. EURC.org.